is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where an article I wrote about a week or so ago, pretty much just got put to bed by the trade rumors from the Pelicans yesterday. And this is one of those things where, you know, all of these trade rumors make some sense. Where there's a lot of smoke, there's probably some fire, and there was an absolute ton of smoke yesterday regarding this team. And if you've seen how Anthony Davis played, if you see where the Pelicans have been struggling, the injuries he's had this year on and off, a lot of these rumors make a lot of sense that the Pelicans are exploring these options. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today on Locked On Pelicans. It's going to be all trade rumors. Yes, the Pelicans won last night against the Phoenix Suns, snapped a 4-game losing streak. But frankly, you know, after getting swept on the 3-game road trip, you could kind of see the way this season is going. It's more about long-term than it's going to be playoffs. You know, they were close for a little while, but they just don't have enough help to get over the hump. Maybe one or two of these trades that we'll mention today would have helped them get over the hump and into the playoffs. But the big one regarding the 76ers is definitely not a move that'll put you into the playoffs, but that's the one that seems most likely, or at least closest to happening so far, though nothing's official and everything could still fall apart. But like I said, just going to focus on these trade rumors today, the big players who they might bring in, who it sounds like they've reached out about, why they want to bring in someone in this mold, this ilk, to help this team out, what's the rationale behind it. And actually, though, even if you're not a fan of these trades and the rumors that are out there, and trust me, I'm not a huge fan of them either, there is one good thing about that, and we're going to talk about that as well on today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is available on iTunes. It is on Audioboom. It's on wherever basically you can find podcasts. And, you know, a day like today is exactly why you want to be subscribed to Locked On Pelicans, to any of the Locked On Network podcasts for any team that you like and follow, especially your favorite team here, the New Orleans Pelicans. And that's because news happens fast now in the NBA. It breaks on Twitter, articles get written about it, but they're usually just the basic story about what's happening here. And here on Locked On Pelicans, I'm going to be able to dive deep into this, a lot of the reasoning behind it. Like I said, and basically everything I just said in the intro here, you're not getting that type of analysis and content anywhere else. Only here on Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, are you getting that, where you get almost real-time analysis of the news that's breaking, of the games that happened the day before, of whatever the topics of the day, the week, the month are. And that's what makes the Locked On Network such a powerful thing. So please subscribe on iTunes, share it on Twitter, Facebook, social media, follow it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Like it on Facebook. It's Locked On Pelicans. Pretty easy to remember. Don't forget the National NBA podcast, Locked On NBA, once a week gives you a good general overview of the league as a whole. I know you guys are NBA fans. You wouldn't be listening here otherwise. So make sure you get into that. They get coaches on. They bring on anonymous coaches, anonymous scouts to give real inside opinions and analysis that you're not getting anywhere else. And they come in unfiltered since they're anonymous. These guys are kind of telling you like it is from the insider perspective of the NBA, not something you're going to get anywhere else. So make sure you subscribe and follow that one as well. All right, so let's do this, and I'm going to go basically as long as I can. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you know I had to skip yesterday's podcast. I have a bad case of food poisoning, so talking for, you know, 15, 20 minutes straight is not the easiest thing right now, I'll be honest. So I'm going to talk about these as much as I can before I feel I just need to stop. And then I'll pick up where I leave off today, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow and then preview the Jazz game for you guys so you have an idea of what's coming tomorrow as well. Basically, we're going to be talking trade rumors all week long. So the big news broke was that basically the Pelicans are looking for a center. And that's no surprise. And it's funny because, of course, I wrote about why the small ball lineup was working so well for the Pelicans recently since they rolled it out on December 26th for the first time. So the Pelicans go with the small ball lineup, Davis at center. Their offense improves by, you know, 8-9 spots in the rankings. Their defense, which was already top 10, jumps into the top 5, I believe, and gets even better overall. But the problem with it was Davis was getting banged up a lot. And I don't know if you can make the claim that it's directly, proportional, analogous, whatever it is, that there's a correlated, that's the word I'm thinking of, that it's directly correlated to him playing center. You know, the New York Knicks game on the road, he got pushed into the stands. That kind of hurt him. That's not due to him playing center. But he did miss the Brooklyn game the next night. He missed the Cleveland game here in New Orleans that Monday where the Pelicans won. And he left early or missed time with getting like kind of banged up injuries in a handful of others during that stretch too when the Pelicans were going small ball. And he basically came out and said, you know, and he said this for years, he prefers playing the four. He doesn't see himself as a five. And during the small ball run, the beginning part of it, he was quiet about that. Didn't speak about that at all. And then after those injuries started mounting, he basically said, no, like I'm a four, I'm not a five, I need to go back to doing this. And Justin Verrier of ESPN.com wrote about that. So it's no surprise to see the Pelicans kind of trying to bring in a center to ease Anthony Davis out, you know, out of this scenario. You know, for guys who are, you know, it's not like he's undersized, he's got the height, but he doesn't have the body mass, the muscle, the bulk to continually bang under the basket all of the time. So, you know, you can see it starts to wear on him. Even more recently, he mentally just hasn't looked there. He's looked more exhausted. The energy level hasn't been there with him playing the five more often. So, you know, as much as I like the small ball lineup, it doesn't do you any good if your best player isn't playing on the court or isn't playing as effectively as he could just because he's too worn down. So the names that came out yesterday, and I'll touch on the big one last, is Brook Lopez of the Brooklyn Nets. A bit of a surprise name, but he'd fit quite well with the Pelicans, to be honest, and Anthony Davis, I won't lie. He has been shooting threes a lot more, so he actively spaces the court. He's a decent rim protector. The biggest thing with him is you worry about his injuries. As long as his foot's healthy, and he's on the court, there's a fit there. It makes a lot of sense, actually, when you watch him play. The problem is the injury history, and he's probably playing so well or well enough that the Pelicans don't have the assets to go out and really get him. So that's going to be the issue there. You kind of have to write him off in that sense. The other name, and I've brought this name up a lot, and it's one that also makes sense, is Nikola Vucevic from the Orlando Magic. Again, offensive-minded center, a guy who can kind of slash and get to the rim while having enough of a jumper to space the court, not as good as Lopez would or not as well as Lopez would, but does it enough to keep defenses honest. The problem with that is he isn't that great of a shooter. His true shooting this year, his field goal percentage has been down tremendously. That will muck up spacing for the Pelicans, even if he does have a jumper that he can make. If you're not making it, they're going to sag off you, and it's going to hurt you on the offensive end and muck up the spacing by keeping people in the paint to take care of Anthony Davis. So, you know, it makes sense. You figure he's going to be a guy that the Pelicans could acquire. It might take a lottery-protected first-round pick. They might just be trying to move his salary long-term with them signing Biombo, looking to maybe re-sign Ibaka there in Orlando. They don't want to keep these three bigs where they've been playing out of position. It's been a mess down there where they just have a weird, weird roster that makes no sense. So he was the other name that came up. But the final name and the name that I would say there was the most smoke about, so probably the most fire and the most trade talks, is Jahlil Okafor from the Philadelphia 76ers. So obviously nothing's certain yet, and the framework is still being reported, but it sounds like basically for Jahlil Okafor of the 76ers, the Pelicans are going to be sending out Alexei Ajinsa, which is likely just to make the salaries work because the Pelicans can't absorb his salary on his own. So Ajinsa's going out, and then a first-round pick of some sort, but it sounds like it's going to be a 2018 first-round pick, not the 2017 pick in this upcoming draft where the Pelicans are tracking for potentially a top five, top six pick overall. So it's going to be 2018 pick, and it sounds like the sticking point and why no deal was done right away was because they're figuring out the protections. Pelicans sound like they would like it lottery protected. Philly obviously would like that protection lower. And it sounds like some of the protections on the pick might be dependent on who they are taking back. So if they're sending out Alexei Ajinsa, the protections are going to be lower. But if they were to send out, in a hypothetical situation, Omer Asik, and it sounds like Philly does not want any part of Omer Asik, the protections, that's where the protections would be lower. Whereas if Ajinsa goes out, the protections are higher. Since you're doing them, they're also doing you a bigger favor by taking on more salary in Omer Asik, so you lower the protections on the pick. Whereas if you send out less salary in Alexei Ajinsa, you make the protections higher and kind of even those two deals out. So, you know, the main name is Okafor, and I'll focus on the compensation for him in a minute. But Okafor, I mean, 21-year-old guy, center, again, fits in that mold of they want an offensive-minded center here. To pair with Anthony Davis to help the scoring, to help the offense, while also moving Davis back to his natural position of the four where Okafor's is a five. Now, Okafor, you know, again, is known offensively. That's what he really is, what he does. His rookie year, this is only his second year. He was drafted third overall in the same class as Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. Okafor went third to the Sixers. Rookie year, I think, averaged 17.5 points. He was playing a lot of minutes. He did that on, you know, almost 14, 15 shots. This year, averaging only 11, or well, down from that 17.5, 11.5 points per game on 9.4 shots per. And he's doing that in about 23.1 minutes per game. So guy can score. There's some talent there offensively. He's very much a post player. He's not going to space the court for the Pelicans at all. He hasn't taken a three-point attempt this year. And if you look at a shot chart, I put it out on Twitter. Basically, he's only taking 18 total shots that are more or less outside the paint or the low or the left or right block. With most of his work, you know, coming in the restricted area under the basket in the paint entirely. And even then, he's not particularly great at shooting. There, he's got a 51.7% field goal percentage for a guy who's taken all of his shots at the rim. Pretty much you'd like that to be higher. The upside with him is, yes, he's 21. He's shown flashes. You know, obviously you're not gonna give up on a guy that young. And if you can trade a lottery protected first rounder for him, especially next year, not in this coming loaded draft, I don't hate the move. The downsides to Okafor, though, are he isn't going to space the court offensively at all, and I don't know how that spacing is going to work with Anthony Davis, who this year has really excelled when he has room to work inside, when he has room to work on the pick and roll, and to get inside and try and dunk the ball, essentially, or shoot this little, you know, kind of a bunny-type shot. With Okafor there, there's going to be always another defender that can rotate over and double-team Davis that can kind of try and take away the lane on the pick and roll. While, you know, after a switch, let's say, and the big is guarding Drew Holiday. So not necessarily an ideal situation with that. The other side of the ball too, defense is a struggle for Okafor. You know, again, he's 21. You're not going to give up on him entirely and say he's the worst and he's never going to get better. But the problem is, you know, a lot of people, at least on Twitter, are saying they've kind of given up on his defense. You know, that's not good. Of course, there's room to improve. He's, again, 21. I'm going to keep hammering that point home. But this Pelicans team this year, their identity so far has been built on defense and being a top 10 defense. And coming in with Okafor, likely that will tank some. Which could be good, especially if you're keeping the first round pick this year. You probably want to lose more, get a higher draft pick, but you don't want to kind of undo a lot of the work you've done defensively this year by bringing in a guy in who's just going to make it harder for everybody. He's also not a great rebounder. He's actually a worse rebounder than Terrence Jones is. Jones isn't particularly great anyway, unless he's having one of those energetic nights where he seems to be grabbing everything. But as a baseline, he's not that great. So if you're running a starting lineup of, say, Drew Holiday, Buddy Hield, Solomon Hill, Anthony Davis, and Okafor, Okafor's not going to be your strong rebounder. Davis obviously would be, but he needs some help. And I've gone over, especially this past offseason and the start of the year, that Solomon Hill isn't a great defensive rebounder either. You might get killed on the defensive glass. And for a team that, you know, is a strong defense, you don't want to be giving second chance opportunities to opponents. After you get a stop, don't make it harder on yourself by giving up an offensive rebound. That could be a problem. But ultimately, I don't actually hate the idea of this trade. It'll depend on the protection of the draft pick in 2018, assuming this deal were to go through. If it's top seven protected, which is what I'd probably peg the number at right now, assuming it gets done top seven protected, you can live with that. Because frankly, if you're not drafting in the top eight next year, you're improving. Okafor's helped you. You already have the draft pick from 2017 on your roster at that point. And you've got a core of, well, I got to touch on the last guy first. So say then you would have a core of Okafor, Anthony Davis, Buddy Hield, Solomon Hill, your 2017 draft pick, and maybe or maybe not Drew Holiday. And so, you know, there's worse cores I've seen in the league. There's definitely a level of improvement on the Pelicans there. The future looks brighter than it would today in this scenario. You kind of restock up on young talent in that situation, which is something maybe the Pelicans needed to have done in some capacity rather than always trading away the draft picks. You know, with Buddy Hield really being the only guy on here other than Anthony Davis getting playing time. That was drafted by the Pels. So, you know, I don't hate it. It's not like you're sending out an unprotected first rounder. You know, at the time, a lot of people didn't hate the Omer Asik trade because it wasn't a lottery pick either. So that's a good thing too. And frankly, if they're still bad next year, they'll keep the 2018 pick. And then maybe the pick turns down the line into two second rounders or something like that. So there's potential to not hate this deal. But frankly, for me, it's going to depend on the protections of the 2018 pick. If they put up the 2017 pick, even lottery protected, I'd be kind of annoyed with that. So I don't think I'd like that deal. I think it hangs on the 2018 pick being the one included in the deal. So before I start to pass out again due to sickness, I want to talk on a few other trade things that have been thrown out there. Along with the news about Okafor and the first round pick potentially being moved yesterday, it said the Pelicans have mulled over trading Drew Holiday. And one of the reporters, I forget who, so I feel bad not giving people credit here, said one of the reasons they're looking at Okafor is to try and maybe lock down a core that'll survive free agency, and Holiday is a free agent at the end of this season, looking to command potentially $25 to $26 million, which is basically going to take up all the Pelicans cap room this summer. So it could be a big problem for him right there with that. So, you know, they might be looking to move him as well. I'd obviously like to keep Holiday here in New Orleans. He's been playing incredibly well for the team recently. His defense is just outstanding. And, you know, going back with, you know, a hindsight, the trade that sent Nerlens Noel and the pick that ended up being Dario Saric to Philly for Drew Holiday looks almost like a win for the Pelicans right now with how well Holiday's played. Yes, there were the injuries. Yes, there was the horrible situation with his wife to start this year. But he's played well. He's been a very underrated player. He's kind of been the key to this defense, pressing the point of attack, forcing turnovers. And it's gone, you know, he's played, like I said, just very, very well for this team. And you have to figure if you pair Okafor, who offensively has been decent, not amazing, not good, but decent, with an actual point guard, the best point guard Okafor's played with has been Ish Smith. So pair him with, you know, not an elite point guard, but maybe a point guard a step below elite in Drew Holiday. And maybe it unlocks a lot of the potential there, just getting him on a team with better teammates. So you'd like Drew Holiday to be on the part of the core going forward. It sounds like Philly really wants to bring him back there where he was before. You know, there have been rumors that maybe he could sign there this offseason. They certainly have the room to offer him a max deal. You have to figure they will. It's whether he wants to be here in New Orleans or not and make more money with his team or go somewhere else. But, you know, the Pelicans are eyeing a core for a future that's going to stay intact and being able to build off of and going, you know, having a blueprint. And I've said this. The identity has been a word I've used here on the podcast a lot in the past couple of weeks. I said the identity should be small ball. But at least with these trade rumors, the Pelicans have picked what their identity is. And it's been kind of in the mold of a traditional team. Davis at power forward, bring in a center. You know, flashes of small ball here and there, but it's not going to be primarily the way you play. You're not going to trot that starting lineup of Davis at five, Cunningham at the four, and Solomon Hill at the three. At least they've picked their identity from this. And stating that enough is a good thing for the Pelicans. You can build off of that. You're not trying to go in multiple directions that kind of conflict with each other anymore. You have your blueprint for what you want to be, or at least you have the identity of what you want to be. Now, make a blueprint from that and build. That's what they've needed to do. Not figuring out what they are has killed them. You're nothing if you're trying to be multiple things at once. I don't know if that actually came off as like deep and meaningful as I kind of intended it to. I also just said it in the moment. Now I said it. I kind of want to take it back. I'll be honest. I didn't like that. But I'll leave it in here. I'm not going to try and edit it out of the podcast. But that wasn't very good, was it? No, I know. Don't worry. I'm sorry, you guys. I'll be better next time. But the Pelicans have kind of the identity that how they want to build this team. And that in and of itself is a good thing and can help them going forward. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. All trade rumors, all the time. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully feeling much better as well. Talking even more trade rumors. Get you ready for the Jazz game tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center. We're, you know, going to be another tough one for the Pelicans. They're in a tough time of their schedule, a little rough part here. So I'm sure there's going to be more trade rumors. We might hear some later today regarding this deal with Okafor and the 76ers. Maybe another center gets thrown in there. Are they going to keep Drew Holiday? Are they going to not? All of these things and more tomorrow on Locked On Pelicans. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys bright and early on Wednesday.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.